Point A was the main administrative and engineering headquarters overseeing the gas fields. ExxonMobil compounds worldwide displayed a universal design: yellow security lights, high double fences at the entrance, and just inside, after the post-Valdez safety campaigns evolved, a large billboard declaring, "Nobody gets hurt." About 220 expatriate employees, Americans, Australians, Japanese, lived within Mobil's compounds in Aceh. Around them lay rice paddies, grazing fields with a few stray cattle or goats, clay roads, and tin-roofed village homes. GAM fielded a few thousand guerrillas. Its most sophisticated weapons were semi-automatic rifles and a few rocket-propelled grenade launchers. The guerrillas taxed and extorted villagers and erected roadblocks to take money and property from passing vehicles. A few miles away from a GAM roadblock constructed from fallen tree trunks, Indonesian soldiers might man their own barrier, peering into cars in search of suspicious-looking young Achenese men. Mobil had adapted to the war without ever missing a gas delivery. Early in 2001, however, a stream of extortion letters and phone calls started to arrive at the corporation's offices. The corporation's security department, which ran its own intelligence operations in the province, heard widely divergent rumors, as a U.S. embassy cable put it, about what lay behind the letters, and whether the commander known as Abu Jack was, in fact, responsible. One source says he's now in jail, and that imposters are making the threats. Others say he is a double agent in the employ of the security forces. ExxonMobil's security department had also received reports that Indonesian executives at a partner company had recently paid a $100,000 ransom to win the release of a kidnapped Indonesian-born executive. The alleged payoff had heightened concern that rebels might now be encouraged to kidnap someone at ExxonMobil, perhaps an expatriate. To deter GAM, ExxonMobil suggested to the U.S. Embassy in Jakarta that the corporation take out newspaper advertisements declaring its refusal to make illicit payments. The embassy judged, however, that any effort to publicly defy the GAM is not advisable. Abu Jack, or whomever he was, telephoned ExxonMobil on the morning of March 9th. A large rebel force had gathered to attack the corporation's gas fields, the caller reported. GAM had ordered villagers in the area to leave. ExxonMobil's local employees could see that nearby residents were, in fact, leaving. This jangled their nerves. Around the same time, a mortar attack and a roadside pipe bombing targeted a bus carrying Mobil personnel. The evidence suggested to ExxonMobil that GAM, or some faction of the undisciplined rebel movement, had changed its targeting policy to go after the company directly, either to advance its extortion campaign or because senior GAM leaders had quietly decided that ExxonMobil was now an enemy of its rebellion, in a way it had not been before. Ron Wilson, who was the president of Mobil Oil Indonesia, the subsidiary that managed all of ExxonMobil's oil and gas operations in the country, decided he could wait no longer. He was accustomed to managing risk on behalf of expatriate and local employees, but he concluded that GAM had now crossed a line. Wilson reported through ExxonMobil's chain of command ultimately to Harry Longwell, Raymond's executive vice president for upstream operations on the management committee, the corporation's supreme governing council. Raymond's judgment about the war he had inherited in Aceh, he recalled, was that Mobil wasn't shooting anybody, but obviously the military was going to protect the gas field, driven by orders from Jakarta, and Mobil was kind of in the middle of it. Raymond entrusted the day-to-day decision-making to Longwell. They decided to shut down operations in Aceh. The decision shocked Indonesia. Newspapers covered the story under front-page banners. Until the Indonesian government created conditions in which ExxonMobil's employees felt safe, Ron Wilson and other ExxonMobil spokespeople publicly declared, Jakarta's billion-dollar annual revenue flow would be turned off.